Where can we find the joy today? There is joy in resistance. In early December, the newly formed Advancing Justice Council had its first meeting. Woo, it's exciting. This new UUCL committee has a person committed to each of the six justice issues prioritized by this congregation. They include racial justice, immigrant and refugee justice, LGBTQIA+ justice, reproductive justice, climate justice, and democracy. As we gathered, I, the committee's chair, opened the meeting with a chalice lighting, followed by a question. What is on your heart today? What is on your heart today? The answers could have been anything. They could have been personal or justice related, and they were all of the above. And despite the seven of us having seven different lived experiences, we all had one common through line. That life feels especially, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually hard right now. And I know you all feel it too. Joy is hard to come by when we are constantly bombarded with the horrors of our time. And I say horrors because the actions we see, we hear about, and experience are nothing short of horrific, and they are explicitly counter to the covenant we agree to live by, the principles of this faith, and the values of this faith that we share of justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity with love at the center. With love at the center. Love for every person, regardless of their race, ethnicity, or nationality. Love for every woman denied health care. Love for every trans and non-binary person denied health care. Love for every person, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. Love for every person being abducted and murdered by masked men in our streets. Love for nature and the future generations who will inhabit the world we leave behind. Love for our messy and imperfect but essential democracy. Unitarian Universalist love with an open heart, arms outstretched to welcome you. Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, ours is no caravan of despair. Come, yet again, come. If you've broken your vows 1,000 times, come, yet again, come. And the wind decided and the cold decided to come in. It's a quote by Rumi that is beloved by UUs. Our faith calls us to live with our eyes wide open, an open heart, an open mind, and open arms, so it is no wonder we're hurting. It is no wonder our hearts ache with the pain of the world, for we are shouldering our grief and the grief of who and what we love. As I sat around the table with the justice leaders, knowing I had asked the question that exposed the heaviness we each were feeling, I wondered, how can we hold both the sorrow of this moment and also the joys that sustain us? Because while we grieve and suffer, we live, we persist, and there is still joy in the dark moments. The horrors persist, but so do I. There is joy in resistance. Last month, the sermons explored what it means to practice resistance, a fitting theme for the month we honor the work, memory, and life of Martin Luther King Jr., who gave his life for his dream. Our dream. Renee Good and Alex Preddy, who gave their lives for the cause. The countless others, far more than I can name here, but who are not and shall not be forgotten. In their honor, we persist and resist. But it's hard to do. Not only is it hard on us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, but it can be hard to know how to resist, how to respond, how to act, especially in these times where one horror bleeds into the next, and... But if we are to believe, as Dr. King said, that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice, an adaptation, by the way, of a quote from Unitarian minister and transcendentalist Theodore Parker speaking on abolition, then we are to believe that resisting in any capacity is to help the moral universe bend. It requires all of us. It requires each of us with our unique perspectives, talents, skills, and lived experiences to bring what we can to the movement and to know that what we each bring is enough. That you are enough. There is joy in community. The UUA's common read this year is Social Change Now, a guide for reflection and connection. This book served as the basis for the Advancing Justice Workshop back in October, and there's a poster of it on the right side, my right side, your left side, of the sanctuary here, that I encourage you to take a look at some point. The premise of the book is that each of us has a unique role to play based on our inherent nature. You don't have to change yourself to fit into the mold of what society believes is a justice champion. You already know how. This book provides a roadmap for individuals, organizations, and collectives grounded in our values to identify and organize around our social change roles. The roles range from a visionary to a weaver, a caregiver to a frontline responder, each with their different characteristics that creates the community of resistors. Are you ready, prepared, and calm amidst chaos? You may be a frontline responder. Are you resourceful focused, detailed-oriented. You may be a builder. Are you courageous, determined, and ready to put it on the line? You may be a disruptor. Are you transformative, intuitive, forgiving? You may be a healer. Well, I can't go through all of them and would say you should have been at the workshop. I can share my own to give you a sense for how it works. So each person at the workshop completed a checklist and identified our top roles based on which ones had the most checked off. And through this process, I learned that I am a visionary, a caregiver, an experimenter, and a guide. Some of the characteristics of these roles include that I believe it's possible to have a future that is better than the one we have now. I'd say that's probably the core of my being. I believe individuals and communities need space, time, and resources to reflect, heal, and connect with each other. I am open to shifting direction if my ideas don't materialize and I become deflated in environments that are averse to taking risks. I believe that current social change movements can learn from how movements have operated in the past. And in moments of crisis, I am prepared to suggest what I have learned to assist those on the front lines. One or several of these may resonate with you, or they may not. But there are many other essential roles, and rooted in all of this is intersectionality. The idea that no one role alone will achieve justice. It requires all of the roles. It requires all of us. If you're interested in learning more, I invite you to either buy the book on the UUA's online In Spirit bookshop or to see Reverend Alice, as we may have some copies for folks to borrow. The possibilities are as diverse and vast as there are people in this room, as there are people in our community and beyond. Ursula Wolf Rocha says, "It can be overwhelming to witness, experience, take in all of the injustices of the moment. The good news is that they are all connected. So if your little corner of work involves pulling at one of the threads, you're helping to unravel the whole damn cloth." Our congregation, our faith is committed to social justice. For me, I say that's how I live my faith. And I know many others here do as well. And so I was heartened to hear during a recent leadership council meeting that of the 80 plus members of this congregation, at least 60 people are involved in the church in some capacity. Rough numbers they may be. They demonstrate that we, as UUs, are a doing faith. We don't simply come on Sundays or holidays. We are a faith that shows up in whatever capacity we can. Because as Reverend Alice said in her last sermon, no action is too small. So I ask you to think of our justice work in the same way. To bring your whole self to this work and offer whatever you can, because you are enough. This past week, the Advancing Justice Council sent out two alerts to the congregation to contact elected officials about legislation targeting Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the Department of Homeland Security, both with state and federal legislation. And you all made calls. You wrote emails. You pulled at the threads of tyranny and oppression that you can. And here in Loudoun County and Virginia, our elected officials heard us. And they voted accordingly. In some faith circles, they call this praying with our feet, some of whom were arrested in the Capitol this last week. It's about being present and making our values heard. And you all are doing that. Unitarian Universalism is a religious tradition that has fought injustice from the beginning. You are among Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, an abolitionist, suffragist, and poet, a prominent voice for racial and gender equality. You are among the Reverend Joseph Jordan, the first Black person ordained a Universalist minister who launched a Black school for children in Norfolk in 1887 that was part of a broader movement to support Black people through the Jim Crow era. Whitney Young Jr., who fought workplace discrimination, especially through the National Urban League, which he led from 1961 to 1971. And you are among Viola Liozzo, who was 39 when she was killed by members of the KKK near Selma, Alabama, where she was supporting the 1965 Civil Rights March to Montgomery. A UU activist from Detroit, mother of five, and married to a Teamsters Union leader. She was one of dozens of lay people who came to Alabama after the murder of Reverend James Reeb, who was one of many UU ministers who rushed to Selma at the calling of Reverend Dr. King. Take a look around you. Take a look. You are among people who have chosen to live this faith. Recite the covenant. And who are kindling the flame of love and justice to heal ourselves, each other, and our world. So let me ask you, how is your corner of the world calling you to help save it? Take a minute and think about that. What small step can you take? In a recent podcast, M. Gessen, author of books about living under autocracy, including The Future is History, said, "People always ask me what they can do. And I say, well, do something. Because whatever you can do today, you're not going to be able to do tomorrow. So act where you can act." From someone who lived under repressive regimes in the Soviet Union and Vladimir Putin's Russia, he calls listeners who see the horrors unfolding before us and say, "This isn't us. Because as much as we'd hope otherwise, this is. And this is happening. But I would also go a step further and say this is also not the end. We have the power to determine how we respond and what our future may be. Nature teaches us that change is the only constant. Buddhism teaches us the lesson of impermanence, that physical and mental realities, the thoughts, feelings, and the universe are in a constant state of change, arising like a wave and dissipating. And as someone who identifies as a guide social change role, history teaches us that while terrible moments in history occur and cause pain, some pain that lasts for generations, those terrible moments do end. But there's a caveat. It requires action. For Claudette Colvin and Rosa Parks, it required refusing to give up their seats to white people. For transgender and queer people at Stonewall, it required standing up to police brutality in June 1969. For Judy Heumann and disability rights activist, it required a month-long sit-in. Suffragists wrote letters, held protests, and gave lectures for women to have the right to vote. It took 75 governors of Virginia before we inaugurated our first female governor, 126 years after women only started to successfully win the right to vote. Now in Virginia, we have the nation's first Muslim woman holding statewide office. We have a record high of 42 women holding elected office in the General Assembly. It is more than symbolic. It is history. It is a light in the darkness. It is a reminder that we continue to make progress and that hope is still alive. So I will ask you again, how is your corner of the world calling you to help save it? What small step can you take? Because this moment is calling to you. It is calling to all of us to oppose tyranny in whatever civil way you can, and to advocate for the radical ideals and values that we as Unitarian Universalists uphold. And that is where I find joy. The joy is being in community with those who wish to side with love. The images of thousands coming together in Minneapolis in sub-zero temperatures shows the power that we can have when we come together. Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel said that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. We cannot allow ourselves to be indifferent when all that we love is on the line. We cannot allow the darkness of this moment to eclipse our light, our joy in this moment. So find your light, find your social change role, and find the joy that heals you and sustains you, because we have work to do. so may it be.